Hear that? It's the sound of you catching up on all the latest and greatest fintech news, trends, and updates thanks to Streetworthy, Yield Street's bi-weekly newsletter. Stay in the know with CEO Milind Mahiri as he takes a closer look at what's happening in the fintech space, then breaks down what each story could mean for investors like you. Give your portfolio the edge it deserves and subscribe to Streetworthy on LinkedIn today.
Welcome to The Yield, the official podcast of Yield Street. Every week, we bring you the latest market insights across our asset classes and products from subject matter experts. Our aim is to break the outdated mold of investing and help you add financial fuel to your ambitions through innovative investing products and strategies typically unavailable to most investors. Realize your next level with The Yield. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. The views you are about to hear do not necessarily reflect the views of Yield Street. This podcast is intended to be strictly informational and is not intended to be and should not be construed as a research report, investment advice, or the offer or sale of securities or any investment product. Now, let's get into the show.
So welcome, everybody. This is another Yield Street webinar, and we're happy to have you here. And make sure and visit www.yieldstreet.com for other events that are coming up. We're on a regular schedule these days, and now that private business credit has launched, expect to see us more and more over the coming days. We're very excited to be here. You can also download the Yield Street app in the Google Store and or the Play App Store. If you're an originator, be sure to click through to Raise Capital page and talk with our folks at the originations@yieldstreet.com. So we're happy to have originators, banks, partners, et cetera, out there listening to us today. We're going to go through and we're going to introduce our guest today. And then we're going to reserve the last 10 minutes for hopefully some robust Q&A, because private business credit is new here. Barb and I are new here. David's new here, and supply chain finance are all going to be new subjects that we're going to be talking about in the Yield Street universe. So what we want to do is I'm going to give you a quick outline on what we're going to hit today. We're going to introduce you to Barbara Anderson. She's the head of underwriting here at Yield Street Private Business Credit. And we have David Skrzynski, who is the CEO of Raystone Capital, our newest originator partner here at Yield Street. We're going to talk a little bit about what is private business credit and what does that mean to you as the upcoming deals come out and what our vision is for the company, the platform, for our investors. We're going to talk about who is Raystone and why is Raystone Capital our right partner for supply chain finance. We're going to talk about the addressable market in supply chain finance. And then we're also going to look at the opportunity. What is the opportunity that we're all here to discuss today? We're going to talk about why Barbara and I like it. And we're going to talk about why David loves what he does in the supply chain finance business. And then we're going to give you a final three things that you should know as you look into considerations, hit the website, look at the supplementary documents that you need to before making a decision. And then we'll hold the last part for opening Q&A. So if that looks as to be, welcome. And we're going to get started on supply chain finance number one. So first of all, my name is Larry Curran. I'm the managing director here at Yield Street. For many of you, you probably saw our announcements over the past 2 months. We went live on June 23rd as the newest vertical here at Yield Street in private business credit. And Barbara and I have been working together for the last 12 years, and we'll let her tell you a little bit about herself. But, you know, today we find ourselves in the middle of another crisis. We have COVID going on. We know that everybody's got a lot going on in their lives. And we really appreciate you taking time to be out here to be with us today. And for whatever reason, I tend to find myself and my successful opportunities in life in crisis. I started my financial career back in 1989 as the banks and savings and loan crisis launched in California. And I ran a small broker dealer where we started to raise capital from individual investors, just like the folks watching and listening today. And over a very short period, we quickly raised about $50 million to go out and buy bad debt originally from the savings and loan crisis and the FDIC. And then we moved on to work with larger banks and for the most part opened up many new avenues for the entire debt buying industry and quickly became one of the largest debt buyers in the United States by 1995. So I took a little bit of a hiatus out of the finance world to get my technology background. And one of the things you'll hear about us at Private Business Credit is we love tech. And we know David loves tech, and he's going to tell us a little bit about that in a little bit. And tech-enabled companies are what we look for. I was a Microsoft Gold partner that trained over 20,000 student hours a year. We were Cisco certified partner, certified ethical hacking. So I have a really kind of a peculiar entrepreneurial background, built a business that did $20 million in the Southern Arizona region. And our primary clients were the U.S. military, and we helped migrate the United States military to Windows 2000 back in the day. So we've been at that for a little bit. In 2005, I came back to the debt buying industry, and that's when I met Barbara. Barbara was working for institutional banks, and I was working for a business that part of our attributes is that we put appraisals together for receivable portfolios. So we have a very unique input that we have when we look at these deals is that we provided for institutional banks qualified receivable appraisals for them as a business. So she was a banker and we were a service provider and a debt buyer, but we provided receivable appraisals to Barbara and her team. And then shortly thereafter, my partners and I, in the next crisis, which was 2008, we formed a company called Vion Receivable Investments with two of my partners. We were a private equity backed company that went out, and really our mantra was to take advantage of the crisis at the time. And we bought everything from performing, non-performing. We bought from the major banks. And then we ultimately went around the world. I've done deals in Brazil and Europe, et cetera, and had to kind of look through all of the tax structure, really the very complex nature of deals. So I'm really the entrepreneur in the party, and Barbara is what we call the professor banker in the group that makes those things happen. So when we started Vion, as we know, we ran into the banking and savings loan crisis, and Barbara's bank ended up getting victimized by the bank savings and loan and the recession process. And she can tell you a little bit about that. And when she became available, she was actually our first hire at Vion. So the three partners hired Barbara as our first and best employee at the time. She was executive director of our commercial acquisitions and brought her banking relationships and great opportunities for us. And we absolutely had an astounding career. So from 2007-08 when we launched the business to 2014 when I left, we deployed hundreds of millions of dollars and returned an X multiple that was well above market for our investors. And so in 2014, I left to form a company which Barbara joined me in called I2B Capital. And we quickly went out and we were about growing businesses. We wanted to grow businesses, which is exactly what we want to do here at Private Business Credit. And Barbara and I left and we launched our business. We landed a credit facility from a well-known credit fund in the marketplace. And we took and exemplified what we want to do here as well. There is a small unserved market where people need $5, $10, $15 million and they need to grow from there in one source. And our very first opportunity, we grew from $1 million to $40 million in just a few short years. And that's what we're looking to do here. And so with that, I'm going to go ahead and segue over to Barbara and let her introduce herself.
Thanks, Larry. I'm Barbara Anderson. I'm the head of underwriting here at Yale Street Private Business Credit. My background is a little bit different than Larry's. After graduating from Colgate University, I started in an 18-month commercial loan officer training program for National Westminster Bank USA in New York. I spent the next 20 years of my commercial banking career with several predecessor banks to Bank of America and PNC, and I was primarily responsible for underwriting and managing portfolios of specialty finance, retail, and consumer product secured loans. After leaving the banking business after 20 years, I joined with Larry and the team at Vion Receivable Investments and spent quite a bit of time acquiring performing and non-performing asset portfolios before starting I2B Capital with Larry, which was dedicated to, again, senior secured lending to growing companies. And I can say that we're both thrilled to be here at Yale Street, and we look forward to bringing many, many unique opportunities to our investor base in the days, months, and years ahead. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Barbara. And David is the CEO of Raystone, which is our newest partner in the supply chain finance business. So, David, why don't you tell everybody about your background?
Thank you, Larry. Hi. Thank you for joining the webinar. I'd also like to extend my appreciation to Yield Street for inviting me to participate. I've been involved in financing supply chains for nearly 20 years, starting at Morgan Stanley, where we built one of the world's first supply chain finance programs, which is the form of private business credit we are introducing today. I transitioned to Citibank just after the financial crisis, where I led the development and expansion of Citibank's supply chain finance product, which was the fastest growing product at Citibank during those years, and it grew into the world's largest supply chain finance provider. Banks are doing a great job of delivering this product to their Fortune 500 customers and using it to finance the largest 20 or 30 suppliers of those Fortune 500 customers. But I was pretty passionate about the value this product adds, and I was keen to expand the use of this product to a much wider audience. So for the last 8 years, I've been creating and growing financial technology firms who are best positioned to expand the reach of this product outside of just the Fortune 500, outside of just the largest suppliers to the Fortune 500. Our collaboration with Yield Street helps make this possible, and it's a natural fit as we share the same DNA. So pleased to be part of this, and thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, David. So before we get a little bit further, we want to talk to everybody about what private business credit actually is. So private business credit here at Yield Street is a little different because people think of specialty finance. They think of special finance lending. They think of front-end lenders. We are a business that looks specifically for originators, banks, originating partners that are specialty finance and private business credit folks like David's team, and we're looking to participate with those folks. So I'm not going to be out on the front lines doing consumer loans on a one-off basis, compiling them together, and then bringing them to the Yield Street platform. What I'm doing is looking for a great originator that has a great product and a great track record, great technology, and they've enabled themselves to grow, and they're out of capital. And now they need a new capital partner that can help them grow to the next level of the business. And that's what a private credit transaction is. Just like with this transaction, we're doing a fixed piece of business that we can then convert to a note and make that note available to the investors, which is what we'll talk about when we talk about the opportunity. So one of the things that I want to talk about is what do we look for in private business credit? Number one, we're looking for growing opportunities. When you talk to Barbara and I, you'll talk about grow, grow, grow. And we're talking about the business, and that means both. That means David's business has been growing, David's customers' business are growing, and the reason that we have an opportunity together is because he sees literally billions of dollars in need for supply chain financing. And in the disruption of a COVID world, there's not enough capital to solve all of those needs. So having a capital solution like the Yield Street platform meet somebody who has a growing demand for that capital gives us an opportunity for a match. The other thing that we looked to is to leverage the technology. And we talked about that briefly, is that this is a complex, there are hundreds and thousands of invoices moving across David's platform, and he's going to talk about that. So part of what we looked for was the talent, growing opportunities, good management teams, ability to leverage the technology as we go from millions to tens of millions to hundreds of millions, and in the future, actually to the billions where we want to be, that they've employed risk management skills, and with a background like David has as the lead there at Citibank and has put out, you know, literally hundreds of millions of dollars across these programs with very, very little losses at all. That's the type of track record that we're looking to bring and leverage for our investors here at Yield Street. That the company does have its own financial sponsors, that they actually have investments in the assets that we are all participating in, that there are high margins. We do have high expectations for our investments here. The investments at PBC are going to range in paying 8 to probably 11 or 12% on the outer side, net to our investors. And in order to do that, we have to have a business that inherently has a margin that's significant enough that it can support the cost while the business continues to grow. It's one of the biggest errors that lenders in our space do is they lend at too expensive of a cost, and it handcuffs the business from true growth. growth, and neither side gets what they're looking for. So that's what's very important for us as we move forward. And then most importantly, is we have a vision for everybody that's on this webinar today. David's business, our business, and the business of our investors, is that David's business is doing business with multiple different credit opportunities. This is just one. So this is the first opportunity for us to put a sizable transaction out to our investors, for you get to participate with private business credit and Raystone as our originator. And then we'll have a new deal from Raystone as originator, and a new deal and a new deal. And this deal will come full circle as it pays off on its maturity date in February of next year as well. And we'll have the opportunity to talk about rolling that. And unlike many of the other opportunities here at Yield Street, we're looking to grow the business and the originator in these same lines of business so that people can become comfortable with supply chain finance and other receivable working capital solutions as we bring them out. And David's team is specifically working with us for short-term opportunities. So most everything that we're going to be working with here are going to be very short-term opportunities that are going to range from anywhere from 60 to 181 days, which is where we're starting at today. And that puts us into a position of a vision where as David's team grows and our investors grow alongside them and their customers grow, our vision is to have the lifetime value of everybody's experience at the Yield Street interface. Our investors, David's company, and David's companies that he can grow, all growing together. And that will be growing our relationship, growing the trust as we continue to perform to our expectations. And that's really the vision for performance at our business. So we're super excited that when we laid out all of those key elements of what we were looking for as our first partner, that we came to the doorstep of Raystone Capital. So that is a perfect segue, David, to talk about at Raystone Capital, what do you guys do?
Thank you, Larry. So Raystone Capital is best described as a specialty finance firm focused on financing supply chains. We were born with the vision of equalizing access to working capital. We want to serve large companies, medium companies, small businesses. Global supply chains are extremely diverse. We may finance General Mills getting paid early on money due from Walmart, very low risk. Or we may finance a Malaysian fabric mill who's selling their fabric to Eddie Bauer, a different risk. We recognized the need to obtain such a wide variety of risk capital across the credit spectrum, investment grade, non-investment grade, distressed. So when we had the vision of starting Raystone Capital, we launched it within a Madison Avenue, New York-based investment bank and broker-dealer called Seaport Global. They are one of the largest fixed income broker-dealers. They trade hundreds of billions of dollars a year of assets with about 3,000 investors. So we took that foundation and then we coupled it with sizable equity and balance sheet investments, first from one of the largest family offices in the country, and then subsequently from the world's largest global asset manager. We took that capital. It led to the creation of Raystone Capital as a standalone company. We finance supply chains in five currencies in 14 countries in collaboration with many bank and non-bank providers of risk capital. Many of them are large household names, institutional investors and banks, you know, every day. And, you know, collaboration with Yield Street is perfect as the demand for financing supply chains is, you know, increasing, as we'll talk about, and we need as many very friendly and helpful and professional partners like Yield Street. So it's a great partnership.
Thank you. And can you tell our audience, and I think that supply chain has traditionally been kind of inside the bank walls, as you know, coming from the banking world. And what we try to do at Private Business Credit is make transactions that have traditionally been just institutionally available to everybody that's listening today. And so just to kind of give scope and size of the opportunity of how big it is, can you talk to us about the addressable market as a fintech play in supply chain finance?
Absolutely. So trade finance is a big overarching term, and it may mean financing accounts receivable, which is just the invoices you've submitted, supply chain finance, which is financing the payables that are being created, letters of credit, bills of exchange, a variety of different names. But at the end of the day, trade finance is simply financing a future cash flow. Someone's going to receive money in the future. We can accelerate their receipt of that money. To put the size into perspective, every year in the United States, $22 trillion of goods and services are purchased annually. If you multiply that to a global number, it's nearly 100 trillion. That's a big number. If all of these payments were on 60-day payment terms, which is becoming the average in the industry, that means on any given day in the world, over $15 trillion of money is waiting to be collected by the suppliers of goods and services to their customers. Supply chain finance and trade finance in general, it helps the people who are expecting the money to collect faster, which is a good thing for them. This is not a static number. If we go back 10 years, the average payment terms were 2.5 times lower than they are today, meaning Procter & Gamble might pay their supply chain in 30 days for work that was done or goods that were shipped. Now, today, that number could be 120 days, and it's going to become 180 days. And corporates are paying later because it's a prudent working capital goal for them. It's part of the cash conversion cycle. If you can hold on to your money later, you're a well-run company. Unfortunately, that's, you know, extending the duration of when the supply chain gets paid. So products like supply chain finance have become extremely, extremely popular, right? I would think the majority of the Fortune 500 offers these types of programs. So large addressable market, growing addressable market, and fintechs are extremely well positioned to address this market. The majority of large companies, they don't accept invoices on paper and they don't send purchase orders on paper. And, you know, no one's faxing documents back and forth. Everything's electronic today. There's these large enterprise software firms that people have heard of, such as SAP and Oracle, and they connect corporates to their supply chains. What Raystone Capital does is we enable many of these enterprise software firms to embed the early payment financing into their platform. So if you're a supplier and you're supplying some goods and services to your customer, you see a pay me now button. You click the pay me now button, and that's the role of Raystone Capital. So the fintechs were just making this more widely available. The asset class has been inside the banks forever. They love this asset class. There was post the financial crisis, though, there were some prudent regulatory changes on how banks should treat the capital that they have. And to summarize it, before the financial crisis, a bank could provide money to a very highly rated company like Walmart, charge a low interest rate. It's great. They could lend money to a poorly rated company, a more risky company, and charge a higher interest rate and feel comfortable. But after the financial crisis, the rule said that if you want to loan money to that lower rated company, yes, you have to charge a higher interest rate, but you have to go into your vault and put a big stack of money and leave it there. And that started to become a problem for banks. They didn't want to tie up all of this, what they call tier one capital, and loan to riskier companies. So they stopped lending to supply chains of all but the Fortune 500 effectively. So these assets have moved from the bank market out of the bank market. So we take this huge addressable market. It's a growing addressable market. It's moving out of the banks into the institutional market, which again translates into, as Larry said, a rapidly growing product for business credit and for Raystone.
Great. Thank you about that, David. So what I want to talk about briefly and then have you explain a little about exactly how the supply chain business works in this opportunity is I want everybody to understand that the supply chain financing one that's available online, I think launching tomorrow here at Yield Street, is a already basketed group of trade payables from our company. We're going to talk about that. And we've actually funded over $23.5 million in this trade already. And that's going to become available to the investors. And that's what we're talking about today. So the opportunity and what people need to think about is that trade finance is almost always short term. And as David had said, most supply chain finance programs are extending terms to 180 to 181 days, which is what this program is. And that pushes us out to early February as the maturity date. So as you think about timing and payment, that's what's going to be on the outside of this transaction. And then we're going to talk about, I'm seeing a lot of feed and questions about the yield and how the yield is realized, right? Who bears the cost and how that piece works so that everybody can understand that we bought a big basket of trade payables and we secured them with supplier receivables and we bought them at a margin and a discount. And we can talk a little bit about how that works on your platform and how we can move to the next spot. So David, if you could just help us understand, and for everybody out there, we're going to call the company Mango. Mango is our affectionate name for the company that we will keep anonymous for many reasons, but most importantly, let's move on to talking about how do we set up this supply chain process to create this opportunity for our Yield Street investors.
Perfect, thank you. So what is supply chain finance? So probably going back 400 years, companies have sold their accounts receivable to a financial institution. These again are the invoices they've submitted, and they did that because they just wanted to get paid, right? The invoice typically has a due date, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 180 days. And if a company wanted to collect money in advance, they would take the stack of invoices into a bank and they would say, give me some money for this. Because an accounts receivable is an asset on your balance sheet, like cash. But the financiers had unknowns. You said these were invoices, but maybe the product you shipped arrived broken. Maybe you put one less widget in the box. So the financing of these accounts receivables was inefficient. It was costly. It was limited. Those unknowns raise the cost. So y'all may have heard of factoring, which is just one form of accounts receivable finance. So supply chain finance is called reverse factoring, and it's called that because it reverses the paradigm. Instead of me as a supplier to Mango walking into a bank with a stack of invoices and saying, I've delivered product to Mango, I'm gonna get paid in 180 days, can I sell these invoices to you? In this case, Mango says to a financial institution, to Raystone, it says, Raystone, I'm going to pay all of these invoices in 180 days. And you now, Raystone, have incredible comfort to, if any supplier walks in and wants to get paid faster, you know these are invoices that are going to be paid in full on a certain date. Tremendous comfort. Now there's less risk. We can lower the price. So we allow, like accounts receivable finance, the supplier is still able to come in and say, I have a $100 invoice. I don't want to wait 90, 180 days to get paid. I'll take $97 today. So that's how the margin is generated. The supplier is willing to take a discount, time value of money, to get paid faster. So this is a collaboration between the buying company, Mango, the supply chain, the supplier to Mango, and the financial institution. And what it succeeds at very well is removing this competitive dynamic between the buyer, Mango, who wants to pay much later because they want to keep their cash, and the supplier who wants to get paid much faster. They want to get their cash. This has always been a competitive dynamic in any supply chain. The financial institution benefits here as well because now I have this clean data. I have certainty of when I'm going to get paid. I have certainty that I'm going to get paid directly. So all the parties are benefiting. We're benefiting, the supplier is benefiting, the large corporate, Mango is benefiting, et cetera. So that's why supply chain finance has been used, you know, so extensively in the world. You think about, though, as a supplier who's getting their money early, why do they love this so much? Well, one, they're getting their money here to fair market value because it's supply chain finance. It's based on the credit strength of Mango. They can shorten a very important cash conversion metric called days sales outstanding. A lot of companies are measured on how quickly they collect money. fact, a lot of salespeople are measured on how fast they collect from their customers. These suppliers can accept larger orders. If suddenly a $10 million order comes in the door, but they're not going to get paid for 180 days, they might have to say no to that business. That's a terrible thing. But if they're supply chain finance, the supplier can get paid immediately for that 180 days, and they can accept the order. And if they have 30% margins, they don't care that they're paying a little bit of money away to get paid faster. And they can also be more competitive. When large corporates go out and bid, and two suppliers are bidding, and one says, you got to pay me in 30 days, and another one says, you could pay me in 180, don't worry about it, because I'll sell my receivables. The person who bid 180 days is likely to win the business. So this is seen by the supply chains of the corporates of Mango as a very positive tool. It helps them win more business, et cetera. The buyers, of course, are supportive, like Mango. Like they can improve their days payable outstanding, which is their metric of how long they hold on to their money. It makes them a favored customer. They can consolidate supply chains, et cetera. So that's why, you know, supply chain finance is a well-used product, a very valuable product, a very simple product, takes a few columns of data sent by Mango. We're able to then pay the supply chain faster and collect the money later from Mango.
Got it.
Back to you, sir.
Thank you. So, Barbara, if you could chime in for just a second and maybe kind of, you're very good, and that's why we call her the professor here at Yield Street, is she's very good at taking these complex ideas and kind of settling it down to a very simple diagram for our audience to hear firsthand, because ultimately what we're dealing with here is a multi-billion dollar business, right? So there are literally billions of dollars in cash flow annually going through the business, high margins that can support this kind of activity. And we're going to take a little piece out of that. And if you could maybe do your professor wonder and just help our clients get a very small, clear view of what the supply chain transaction does.
Well, you know, I always like to think of it in terms of my own individual world, right? So, you know, we have our own personal balance sheets and our own personal income statements that we deal with every day. So for example, you might have your mortgage loan and your auto loan. Those are regular loan payments that you make each and every month. But then you have your bills. You might have an electric bill, the gas bill, the water bill, the trash bill that also get paid every month. What we're focused on in this transaction is not the debt payments. We're focused on the trade payments, those regular bills that are getting paid month in and month out. And as David described, what we're doing is we're going to the electric company, the gas company, and the water company and saying, look, we'll pay you today at a discounted amount. And we're going to the individual and saying, okay, we'll give you 180 days to pay those invoices that you would have had to pay this month. So in that particular example, our buyer, which in this case is Mango, gets an additional 180 days to pay, but our suppliers get payment immediately so that they can then redeploy that capital into their business to create more goods and more services for our ultimate buyer.
Great, thank you. And as we think about this, David, if you could do me a favor and just, I'm again looking at some of the questions, and we have some questions that we're asking in advance that we'll ask at the end, but I think this is a good segue to talk about. The customers want to know, A, they realize that PBC, because we're brand new and this is our first deal, that we don't have any supply chain experience here at Yield Street, so we're deferring to you guys at Raystone. So we have some questions about how much. Tell me about the volume of Raystone's business and then your prior experience specifically with Mango, if you could take a minute on that.
Sure. So the Raystone team, I would estimate has purchased upwards of $500 billion of accounts receivables in our careers. Interestingly, with absolutely zero losses on that, which is I'm very proud of that. For Mango specifically, the role of a Raystone is very important, right? We connect, we provide the connectivity, and then we arrange the capital, which may come from a variety of different places, including many of the largest institutional investors. So What's the second part of the, let me ask the second part of that question again.
So the second part was, so how much volume have you guys done? Because I want to make sure that everybody understands that we're joining an existing supply chain financing program, and we're extending additional credit to something that's already been in place, is already cycling for the past year or more with several other institutional investors. So we're not priming the pump here. We're not the first guys in that are saying, hey, I hope this all works out, and let's give it a thumbs up. Talk to us about, so that everybody on our side understands that this is part of how we get comfortable in these trades, is that they've been in here for some time. And there are several other institutional investors that are well known that are already in this credit, and we are joining them as part of the facility.
That's right. Okay. Thank you. And I'd also like to add that Raystone is also in the facility as well with our own capital. So we have stepped in to help Mango about a little over a year ago to expand their supply chain finance program. They've run a supply chain finance program for about 5 years. And, you know, to the best of our knowledge, have successfully made all of the repayments on time. We've arranged multiple institutions to fund using our balance sheet, using other institutions. We fund typically once a week. So roughly in that year, we've done 50 individual funding cycles, and we've been repaid for everything that we financed on the due date. So a very, very positive experience.
Got it. And so not only did we take and we extended, and again, for everybody's acknowledgement, and it's listed in the supplemental documentation on the website, is that we're joining nearly $100 million financing facility here. I mean, this is a multi-billion dollar company. We're not coming in alone. We did finance approximately $23 million in this first opportunity, but we are looking for future opportunities. This facility itself has the ability to grow maybe to 100, over 100, 120 million itself, because the company is growing. So when people are asking, what's the industry, who's the company, et cetera, I want to get back to my mantras. Growing company is what I can tell you. And the reason that they need more supply chain is because they have more brands and more verticals and more customers and more suppliers, and they're growing around the country and around the world. And as a result, they have more suppliers coming on that need faster cash pay and the ability to extend those terms for 180, 181 days using our capital is a great opportunity for the company to get what it needs, the suppliers to get paid now. And at a time where, you know, companies every day counts, in COVID, they've been hit by other things, suppliers are happy to take the discount to get the capital today. And I also want to address to folks to understand that if an individual supplier, where this works is an individual supplier doesn't have the credit grade of our Mango. And Mango is rated by the rating agencies as a B3, B- in a stable condition. And what that means is that they can pass better credit terms on to their suppliers than their suppliers could get themselves. So in a traditional factoring relationship, a supplier could pay 1.5, 2.5, maybe as much as 3% a month for a 180-day receivable, which would cost, you know, 18 to 30 plus percent in an effective rate. And here, when people are asking, how do you guys afford to pay a 10% annualized rate? That is actually significantly less than most suppliers that aren't A credit could ever factor the receivable. So it's key to understand that the process is cost efficient. The buyer, which is Mango, is able to pass the cost on to the suppliers. The suppliers get accelerated cost of capital at lower than they could procure by themselves, which makes it a benefit for both of them. And that's why the program will continue to grow. So with that, Barbara, talk to me about why we like this opportunity, because we obviously spent some work with David and his team and our team, and tell us why you like it.
Well, as we've talked a little bit about, Mango is a multi-billion dollar revenue company that is growing itself, and it's also part of a growing segment of the consumer products industry. They've been in business a long time, and as you mentioned, one of the nationally recognized rating agencies have given them a rating of B-, B3, stable. And in reaching their conclusions, they cited EBITDA margins in excess of 10%, also debt to EBITDA leverage ratios of 6x or less, And of course, adequate cash flow to support both debt service payments and trade payments. The other thing that I'd like to just emphasize here that David touched on, but we haven't talked in detail about, is the fact that Mango has provided an irrevocable payment undertaking. What that simply means is it confirms the exact amount of what is going to be paid and the exact date on which it's going to be paid. So we know what we are going to collect on February 3rd, 2021 from Mango. And that's without the ordinary course deductions and set-offs that you might see in an ordinary supplier-buyer invoicing arrangement. So that gives us quite a bit of comfort. And then we also take a lot of comfort, of course, from Raystone's track record in the supply chain finance business, as well as their track record with Mango in this supply chain finance business. Lastly, I think note at a 10% annualized interest rate for a less than 6 month term is an attractive investment, particularly now during the COVID crisis.
And that's what we're looking to do. And David, if you could do me a favor, we're going to talk a little bit about why you love what you do. But before we do that, we have a couple of questions I'd like to address. I think folks have a thought process that if I'm factoring or if I'm in supply chain, that somehow that might impute that there's something wrong with the company because they need to extend that. And if I heard you correctly, really the entire Fortune 500 has supply chain management processes and finance programs in place. They have it at a lower cost than this one, but this is now moving out into the rest of the world because the world is stretching. Our supply chains are more global. Payment terms are extending, but people need current cash flow. And when you look at the company's rating as a B minus B3 stable, there's kind of two parts to the question. Is number one, I think what you've said is that supply chain is really an optimal solution, not last look option solution. And B, when you have a rating like that, people are going to ask, is the underlying credit in a B3 position because of leverage or because of maybe some payment histories or problems paying that? So if you could talk to the folks a little bit about those two kind of competing concepts so that they could get comfortable that that is not indicative of some lack of an ability to pay, because we have a company that's kind of best in class in its performance from an EBITDA margin standpoint, despite where its current leverage is.
Sure. Large corporates, nearly every household name we can think of, offers a supply chain finance program to their supply chain, and they actively encourage their supply chain to use it. Corporates understand that their supply chain should get the lowest possible cost of financing. It's not seen as a bad thing. Having the ability to obtain financing is prudent. These are non-debt products, so a supplier getting paid early and not increasing debt, you know, for them not to use it is improper. So I think, you know, factoring as an industry has had some historical, you know, problems with how it was perceived as high cost. Reverse factoring is much different because it's such a simple process. There's not high fees. It's what's the credit risk of Mango? That's the cost of the program. So, you know, we would definitely not feel the perception of the product is negative. My belief on this company is its rating is driven by its growth rate and by its leverage, and certainly not by its performance in the market, et cetera.
Got it. Well, I think that was key for everyone to hear and understand that the rating is from the company's leverage, but the leverage is a function of its cash flows. So its cash flows are significant, above 10% annually. So it has the adequate cash flow to use the leverage to grow its business. And because it's growing, it's taking advantage of debt as opposed to raising equity, which is part of the reason that we like the company. So as we wrap up here, gang, and we get to the final Q&A, and I appreciate everybody's patience. It was a lot of information to get through today. I want to talk just lastly about why I like this trade. Number one, we're looking for growth opportunities with our partners that have done the work, been here with the client, spent tens of millions of dollars already with the client, cycling, getting paid. We're coming in. we've already funded. So Yield Street's already bought into the transaction, and we are now part of a nearly $100 million facility that could grow from here on out. So we're excited to be that. And to be able to be in this type of a facility, get a 10% annualized rate, and that comes out as early as February of next year, is what we wanted to do to land, kind of stick the landing for our first opportunity with PBC, have a short-term, high-yielding opportunity for our investors. And the fact that we can do it with a partner like David, who he and his team have put out, as he said, almost $500 billion in supply chain financing over their lifetimes with zero losses, is what helps us get the credit and the quality of what we're looking for to make available here on the platform. So with that, I'm going to spend just the last few minutes trying to answer some questions. And David, I think you answered this, but we had a couple of questions that came in before the session, and I just want to kind of wrap those in clarity. But it seems specifically, I just want to reiterate that you guys have funded about 50 plus weeks of what you have IP use, or the irrevocable payment undertakings that are revolving right now and paying off in cycles. And we've just joined that group of receivables, and that now is, you know, approaching $100 million mark. So that is important. We talked about your experience, so we did kind of address that. And then we also talked about the B3 rating and what we have. So if you hold on one sec, I'm going to pull up, see what some questions are. Barbara, the maybe at the top of the list, the folks want to know, what did you do as head of underwriting, and how did you get comfortable with your underwriting and the information that we received from Raystone?
So in my career as a commercial bank underwriter, I focused on senior secured loans to consumer product companies, as well as retailers and specialty finance companies. We underwrote both their balance sheet and income statement, as well as the collateral that they pledged for their loans. In this particular transaction, we had access to detailed financial reports from Mango, and we ran our analytics on their financials and were satisfied that the B- B3 stable rating from the rating agencies was reflective of their performance. And we were comfortable that here in this particular case, for a 6-month credit risk, Mango was absolutely able to perform as we expect.
Very good. I do want to talk just briefly, because it is in the offering documents, and I want, if you could provide some clarity, Barbara, on the receivables portfolio. So we have roughly 500 receivables from 30 some odd suppliers that were selected and approved by the company, Mango. We had Raystone approve them, and then we approved those, and then we funded those. And then we got receipts for all of those fundings at the invoice level, so that we could say all of the invoices were paid off and we've got kind of this complete package. But now people are asking, talk to them about why do we file liens on those assets and what does that actually mean to us as investors?
Correct. So the underlying transaction here is to acquire Mango's receivables from their, or the supplier's receivables due from Mango. So we have actually acquired those receivables and we filed liens against the suppliers for those receivables, just as a precaution against any other creditors of those suppliers claiming an interest in those receivables. So just remember, we're buying the receivables from the suppliers that are due from Mango, we're paying those, we're paying the suppliers for those, and then we're in turn getting an irrevocable payment undertaking from Mango to pay us in 180 days. That's the basic transaction. So the filing of the liens against the suppliers is just a precaution against their creditors. We are owed the funds from Mango in 181 days, standing in the shoes, essentially, of those suppliers.
So that's just an additional kind of belts and suspenders protection that we put on so that no unrelated party to our transaction could say, wait, they can't sell you that receivable. It's my receivable. So you do a lien search, you file a lien on those specific assets that have been identified to be put into the program. And then you let the world know, hey guys, we're here, we have a lien on these. And that is the culmination of what will pay us in full. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. And then lastly, I just want to point out to everyone is the yield, as you can see in the supplemental documents, we paid approximately $23.5 million to basically go into the company, allow them to say, I have all of this accounts payable. I'm going to bulk them all up and you're going to go pay my bills. Very simply. And we wrote a check for $23.5 million. All of their folks got paid current, and they now us one bill at one time at one moment, and that's $24.9 million that comes back to us. And it's that margin of the discount, which is where that 10% annualized yield is achieved. So that is the area. I think, Dave, do you have any final comments that you would like to put out for our team here today and our future partners? Because hopefully the goal is that we're going to create opportunistic followers of the Raystone products and opportunities and private business credit. So any closing thoughts you have for our listeners today?
I think Barbara said one of the most key items here, that we understand when the debt repayments and the cash flows of Mango are due, and the trade receivables have something called temporal seniority. So this is something you can bring up at dinner conversation. And it simply means Mango has to pay these every 180 days, which is well ahead of their debt repayments. So it's pretty, trade finance has such a low default rate and has such a high recovery in default because you have the belts and suspenders of filing the liens. You also have, you know, the cash flows, you're getting ahead of the bond payments. And let's say worst comes to worst, something went wrong and, you know, Mango couldn't, you know, went bankrupt. The first thing they do the next day after bankruptcy is they keep buying more goods to sell, right? So they have to just keep paying their supply chain, even if they went bankrupt. So we all get repaid. So it's a very, very, very safe asset class based on those different things we've talked about. So,
Larry, speaking as a former senior secured lender, I can tell you that the trade suppliers and the trade payables are the lifeblood of these large manufacturers and distributors. And Dave is absolutely right that companies do focus on making sure that their trade gets paid and gets paid in a timely fashion so that they don't interrupt or disrupt the reliable supply of goods and services to their businesses.
Yeah. And if you're in a growth mode, nothing worse than not playing your suppliers. So in the normal course, that's why we like this area. We're excited to bring this first offering as private business credit. Barbara and I are excited to be here. Again, visit yieldstreet.com to learn more, get your supplemental information on the opportunity. And if you're, again, an originator, a partner, and you're looking for capital structures that can help you grow your business today, please email us at originations@yieldstreet.com. And we're out for now. We'll look forward to the next private business credit offering, which is coming next month. So we've got some great things coming, and we look forward to talking to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Yield. For the latest updates on the alternative investing space, go to yieldstreet.com. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. If you enjoyed the show, feel free to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, as this will help other investors like yourself find our show. If you have any questions, please visit us at yieldstreet.com. Thanks again for listening, and see you next week. The Yield Street podcast you just heard only reflects the opinions of the host, who is an associated person of Yield Street, and does not necessarily reflect the views of Yield Street or any of its affiliates or other associates. The podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be and should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security, and is not an offer or sale of any securities or investment product. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to be and should not be construed as investment advice.
Support for this podcast comes from Yield Street. Trying to time the stock market can lead to regret. At Yield Street, our alternative investments are designed to create predictable secondary income streams, providing you with tools to help put your money to work immediately. These investments in asset classes like art, real estate, and legal finance typically have low correlation with the stock market and target annual yields up to 7-10%. Welcome to the next generation of investing. Welcome to Yield Street. Sign up today at yieldstreet.com.